Welcome back to the Wild and Vile Case Files. I'm your host, Buddy Vile, here with my co-host, Sean Wild. I don't know why I said that so quietly, because that was absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
damn
was
it.
Your NPR voice. That's yeah, okay.
That was very much my NPR voice.
We can be an NPR podcast.
That's very true.
We're not affiliated. Yeah.
We could just pop onto the public radio. That is kind of true. Wow.
It's
I do love that. Like
self-fulfilling prophecy. We'll just say it enough that it actually happens.
God, I wish. Well, that's like how I like to think. We were just talking earlier of like I can't believe that like 45% of our audience is on Apple Podcasts, because like we really pander to Spotify users. But that's because like deep down I truly believe that we are an exclusive podcast to Spotify, and like they gave us billions of dollars just like Joe Rogan and Dax Shepard to like only be on their platform. So like,
well, and Anchor
that's
is
why we're doing it.
Yeah, well, Anchor's owned by Spotify too. So I don't know. And I'm a Spotify diehard.
I used to only listen on Apple Podcasts, and then I just switched over to Spotify, which I think I started doing it because I would listen like to one episode on Apple Podcasts and one on Spotify, so we got dual listens. And then I just kind of started liking the Spotify podcasts. Like I was like, oh, this is actually
pretty nice.
Do you
pay for Spotify?
No, I don't. I have the free version because I pay for Tidal.
Ew. I don't know what that is.
It's the Jay-Z owned streaming service. And like the whole thing, like before like it just kind of became a normal streaming service, is so it was like hi-fi, so like really high fidelity and like really great sounding. And the reason like I got it and like literally liked it at first was because they had Prince on it and the Beatles and Neil Young with like exclusive streaming rights before like that got everywhere. So that's why I got it. And then everyone else did, and now I just like it because everyone's reaction is like, what's Tidal? Like, why do you still have Tidal? I'm like, because Tidal till I died, which I've definitely said on this before because I use it all the time.
I remember,
but, like, I love it.
I remember it when it came out, and then I thought that it just died.
Because we got like 6 months free as college students, and it was super cheap, and I just like always had it. And so then I switched over from, because I think I lost my Spotify.
I was rocking Spotify students for
a
while.
For so long. And then they find like
then
I finally
shut down
completely
my
lost. Yep, I lost my Winona email, and so I had to get a bunch of new shit.
Not
and that
gonna
was
lie.
One of them. And so I went back to Tidal, and I was like, I do love Tidal.
When they took away my college email, that was actually like not good for me because I was still actively using it for like a lot of stuff. And so like they shut it down, and then all of a sudden like I had to like switch over a lot of things.
Well, and some things are really hard to get your email out, like move it away from. So
yeah,
like I did the same thing with like Excel when I was moving apartments like through college and then like into Minneapolis. Like they would not let me change it from like abuddy12@winonastate.com to like my actual email. I'll say that one because you guys can flood that fake email all you want. Like rest in peace email.
Well, and also, like, when you want to change it over, you need, like, access to the old one.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Like, I didn't have, it was
and I'm like,
such
it's
a
gone.
Pain.
Like, they straight up took it from me.
All right. Well, today's episode of the Wild and Vile Case Files is a very special episode because we're going to do some shorties, a.k.a. short stories.
Woo woo. Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
It sounds like yours are a little more lighthearted than my three are, which I didn't mean to. I was, like, looking up for, like, crazy and fun murders and like cases, but kind of hard to get the right like adjective in when you're looking up these kind of stories. Like you just kind of get like crazy. It's like
it's
very objective or subjective term.
It is wild and vile. Yeah. So you got the vile covered.
I did keep putting in wild, and it just wasn't giving me any results. Like it was like this person lost at sea, or like this person lost in the forest, and I was like, I don't mean wild. I mean wild.
Okay, well I'll go first. My very first story in our new segment of mini stories is, it's not actually anything, well, it could be real, but I don't think it is. It's Agartha or Hollow Earth Theory, which, have you heard of it besides me talking about it?
Yes, I'm very familiar from the recent movie Kong vs. Godzilla or Godzilla vs. Kong.
No way. It's
just that movie is literally Middle Earth Theory.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so that's where they say they came from, is from Middle Earth, and they go back down, and then all of a sudden King Kong's floating through space, and I was like, wait, why is he in space? And then it's like, no, he's in Middle Earth, and I was like, but why is it space?
Whoa, that actually blows my mind. Now I have to watch this movie.
Yeah. I mean, you don't. I've seen it, and I don't remember a thing about it except the Middle Earth Theory, because I was literally so confused. I was like, wait, how did he get into space? Like, I thought he went down.
Well, I'll get there.
And then
I'll explain to you how he got to space. It's super annoying that didn't come up when I was looking it up, but oh wow. Okay, so Hollow Earth Theory started in, or its estimated origin is in 1692, is when it was first proposed. It was proposed by a guy named Edmund Halley, it's Halley, and it is the guy who discovered Halley's Comet, actually. So, Edmund Halley thought it was possible that the Earth had many different crusts and that they were spinning within each other and could support different life on each crust. So if you know what, like, a Russian doll is, where, like, it's a doll stacked inside of a doll stacked inside of a doll, that's his theory, is that there's a smaller Earth and then a bigger Earth over that and then a bigger one over that, and then we're on the outer crust.
I think that, yeah, I get that.
So that is his theory on that. Eventually that theory grew over time, and there's a more modern view of the theory. Basically, it's what the theory is described as hollow Earth, is that there's nothing inside, but there's like a reverse gravity situation going on. So for us, what the ground is, if you flipped it on the other side, they have gravity going the opposite way, and the whole center is hollow. So what they think is in the middle, or what these people think, is there's a sun at the center, or like what we think to be the core, is there's a sun, and then there's a ton of space, and then the ground that goes around it. So I don't think, from what I saw...
I think you mean, sir, that there is heaven and hell between us and nothing else.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Well, and I'm going to get to that too, actually. But
I am straight up offended.
The one thing that I don't understand about this theory that nobody cares to explain, that I saw a little tiny thing about it, is there's just a fucking sun there all the time. Like, they're not rotating around it that it would actually go out, right? Like, it would just be daytime all the time.
But I guess it depends on if there's a wall in Middle Earth. Or, like...
Yeah, or, like, some smoke and mirrors. Yeah.
Maybe a mountain in the way and, like...
Yeah. Yeah. Or a little moon, maybe?
That's what I mean. It's, like, are there little orbits so, like, they are shifting around each other?
Oh, I haven't seen Hollow Moon Theory. But, yeah, so I did read one thing that basically the sun gets, like, less hot or less bright during their supposed nighttime, which would still be kind of daytime. But one thing that I found a little convincing about the theory, I mean, if you really read into it, it's like, could it? But a thing that I found convincing is that many cultures across a lot of time, the Greeks, Hindus, Christians, Irish people, they all believed in an underworld or a hell. And this had to either originate from one base religion, or they're all getting it from somewhere, right?
They think came from my man, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, so we think that there's something under our feet throughout all of history, which I think it's interesting that we stick to that concept. And there's even some tribal cultures that are like island nations that haven't been influenced by like Western culture. And they believe that their descendants come from caves from the underworld, that like they crawled up from the inside of the earth and came out of these caves.
Interesting. Does it go into like parallel universes where like it is a Middle Earth, but it's really just like also Earth, like it's in a different realm?
No, but it kind of gets onto that. So actually, yeah. I'll just keep going, but within that space, but not necessarily that. So to add to the theory, in 1812, a war veteran and a trader posited that there was these things called Syme holes, and they were named after him. His last name, Syme, John Syme. And so these holes are supposedly located at the North and the South Pole. And basically, they're just big gaping holes that we can just kind of walk right over the edge and back under. Into Hollow Earth. And I kind of think this is like a little bit convincing, because if you look at satellite images of Earth, there's always fucking clouds over both of these. So it's like we would never know if there was holes there.
What is this called? I gotta do some Googling.
Hollow Earth Theory?
Well, like,
Syme holes. S-Y-M-M-E. Yeah, so like basically if Earth had a big gaping butthole on both sides. But like, Google a satellite image of the North Pole.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was looking at, and like there's kind of a picture of a globe, and that's what it made me think of, is like when I turn my globe and it like only goes on that one axis, that like it would make like,
yeah, picture where your globe is screwed in, like those, that's, are just holes.
Yeah. Those are literally just the holes that go into Middle Earth.
I mean, the globes have holes in them from the screws. Maybe they're trying to tell us something.
That's pretty dope.
Okay, so these Syme holes are first presented in 1812 by this guy. There's some offshoots from this theory, and there's even a cult in Florida that don't exist anymore, but they believed that other planets have hollow cores as well, and that the universe itself is a hollow core. So, like, we are on Earth, but, like, we vision as the universe, and its limits, its ends of it, are actually an inverted part of a greater sphere.
That honestly kind of makes more sense than like trying to wrap your head around a never like a forever expanding universe that's just stars and everything else. Like it would make more sense that we're very, very, very deep underground, but still have like our own ecosystem.
We're on an inverted sphere. We're on the inside of a marble, basically. Yeah. But then they also, so I think part of me was understanding that theory wrong because then I saw a
graphic. Stars are just like deep holes in the giant sphere that we live in, and like so just like light breaking through at night.
Oh, there you go, cracks in the sphere.
And like what if clouds are just dust coming out of this big hole? Wow, I could keep going.
Dude, you are getting so close to something. So wait, okay, so the other thing within that cult that maybe I wasn't understanding correct is that we are the outside crust of this sphere and that the universe exists within inside us. So if you inverted Earth and all... Okay.
Explain it to me like Earth is a tennis ball.
Okay. Earth is a tennis ball.
Yes.
If you are looking at it from the inside, if you're standing at the center and you're looking at...
So like I'm inside the tennis ball.
You're inside the tennis ball and you're at the center.
Yep.
You are looking at a point against the wall, basically.
Yep.
That could be Italy. And then you turn around and the other side it is America. And everything in between is the universe.
Dude, that makes so much sense to me. I hate it.
It's, yeah.
Like, I mean, that makes so much more sense
you'll
than
have
space.
To look at, if you can't visualize it yourself, you'll have to just Google images of it. So that's that.
Wow.
So now, you know, with conspiracy theories being the way that they are, people today who are hollow earthers believe that inside of the earth, it houses advanced races. So some people think that they are old races, like... Who's that really smart race?
Women?
The, like, Mesopotamians or something, or before that, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember their name. But anyways, they think that they had, like, migrated there when shit got bad, and that they're living in there, and now they're, like, this super advanced race. People think that aliens live in there, and that they also think that the people that live there are giants, because life is so good there that it gives, like, an abundance of thriving, so everything's just bigger.
Cool.
Another piece of evidence, in quotes, is this man named Richard Byrd. He was a pilot, and he claims to be the first person that ever flew over the North and South Poles, and he says when he flew over them, he did see these Siam's holes, and he even says that he flew in and made contact with the race within.
You had me until you made contact, sir, that you flew into these.
Yeah. Well, what? Amelia Earhart... She's probably Earth and still thriving because life is great there. So,
well,
so,
like, what if inside Earth is just the ocean? Like, that is what's in there. Like, or like...
Oh, like it's all water.
Like, we're on the... Yeah, like, if we're on the sides and, like, it just happens to be, like... So, back into my tennis ball thing. Like, if the tennis ball is, like, halfway filled with water, like, there's still plenty of places to, like, go along the edges.
Like a fishbowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, the ocean would be filled up and, like, that would make... I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, okay, so somebody, I mean, obviously there's a lot of reasons why this isn't real, but somebody was like, okay, what if the crust cracks and our ocean just starts spewing into this world? But they claim that this world is, like, very, like, self-regenerative and is, like, would be able to patch the hole very quickly.
Well, that, and it's not going to happen fast, it's going to happen like it does on a mountain where it happens with erosion over thousands of years.
Yeah, or the other theory would be, too, that they have, like, they have their own oceans, so their oceans are constantly pouring into ours, and ours are pouring back, and there's, like, this center of gravity that just kind of meets in the middle, right?
That is kind of cool to think of the Siam's holes, too, if, like, they came from the future and somewhat, like, they're just, like, us from a thousand years ago, like, put them in as a form of, like, travel in between. And, like, at some point you're able to, like, cross the paths of, like, going, like, all the way through Earth that you then pass, like, through time and back. And so, like, that's, like, how we travel, whether it's, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, wait, I
do you get what I'm saying?
You lost me for a second, but yeah, now I got
so,
you.
So, like...
I was like, whoa, my brain's not ready.
So, like, if it is instead of, like, ancient and it's inner race, or, like, whatever it is, like, if it is... From the very, like, from a futuristic place or from the future that we put in, like, that's how we then travel in the future. Like, that's how we solve global warming. It's, like, cutting a hole in our tennis ball that we live on. So if we do live on top of Earth and those two holes, like, go in between, if we then now in the future live in those and, like, that's all, or, like, that's how we get from, like, Sweden to...
Yeah.
Nicaragua. I don't know why I chose the hardest country in the world to say. From,
like,
Sweden to Chile.
We wouldn't need layovers. We could have direct flights, yeah.
Like, if we just pass through that, like...
I still think because looking take at these holes,
like they look through, like
they look big as fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, so other things to consider. I already mentioned the cloud cover, but the other thing is shortly after we were advanced enough to actually travel to Antarctica or to the North Pole, a lot of these were deemed like, you know, the public's not getting there. It's like you only go there if you're under a government mission, basically. So it seems like there's a lot to hide. As far as, like, the accessibility. And, I mean, like, obviously nobody's going to be vacationing in Antarctica, but, like, that's just because, in this theory, like, we just automatically see it as not an option. But, like, could it be? And we're just being told it's not. Who knows?
Every mountain is unclimbable until it's climbed.
Exactly, yeah.
That was a quote from Downton Abbey, episode 1. Okay. It's because the Titanic sinks, and they're like, I thought it was unsinkable. And
well,
like,
now
every
it's in mountain's Hollow Earth.
Every mountain's unclimbable until it's climbed, and I was like, so true.
The Titanic didn't sink. It's alive and well in Hollow Earth.
That's so true. I have to stop saying things are so true, but, like, this is all making sense to me.
Yeah.
Wait, can we backtrack again? Remember when you were going to say we hope these make it to, like, 5 minutes?
Yeah, this one went way longer than I thought.
Are the same people who believe in Hollow Earth, like, on the page of, like, flat earthers? And what do flat earthers believe? Like, they literally believe that, like, we live on
a disc, like a frisbee, basically.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, if they do they believe that every picture of the earth is fake?
Yeah, see, this is why, like, you hear Hollow Earth and you're like, oh, flat earther, like, they're very, like, synonymous.
But I don't, because I think this flat earth because this makes sense.
This makes way more sense to me than a flat earth.
And in, like, a weird way of, like, almost cognitive dissonance, like, it makes more sense that this is our universe or that we are in, like, a giant atmospheric hole or, like, giant hole in the ground that has its own atmosphere.
Yeah.
Than we are, like, just floating in space.
Well, and also, it's like, flat earth is, like, it's hard to wrap my mind around, but this is, like, if the fucking government came out tomorrow and said, gravity actually works inversely on the inside, I'd be like, plausible.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't even get what gravity is.
It's, like, much easier of a sell than it is to be like, the earth was actually flat all along. Like, just according to everything we know so far, like, it wouldn't be too much of a stretch for me to believe it. I'd be like, okay, you're telling me that. So just a couple more items of proof from these people. They claim that the Northern Lights are a product of vapors escaping from the Earth's crust, and that's why Northern Lights happen more towards the north, because it's coming out of the Symmes Hole.
Shit, that makes sense.
Ooh. Shit's getting real.
Or yeah, like that it is like an entrance to space because there are different rays and that's like why we see those light. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then
my B plus in astronomy is is coming through right now.
On the concept of it being an entrance to space, just another fun idea, which is actually, I mean, it's all crazy, but a little more crazy, is that the Symmes holes where, you know, whatever. They think that these are alien entry points and that it's actually like an intergalactic, like, airport, basically.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I think more than less than aliens, that it's us from the future or it's us, like, now in the upper 1% are traveling through Earth.
Yeah, or
fuck the subway.
Or if it's not aliens coming from space, they're coming from within, and if they have flying saucers, it makes sense why we don't see them in space, but we see them in our skies still, because they're coming out of the Symmes holes and right into our atmosphere, rather than entering from an external source. Digest that.
I wish we were on video so people could literally just see me, like, my brain, like, my wheels turning, my mind thinking.
Buddy's looking for Delta flights to the North Pole.
That's fascinating.
So yeah, we heard this on a car ride where I was very hungover, and I slept through most of the podcast we listened to about it, but I just could never shake it, so I needed to talk about it myself. I mean, honestly, I could get behind Hollow Earth more than I could Jesus Christ, but
100%. Wow, that's really, really interesting.
I love it. I think it's great. I think we need to look into this more.
Yeah, it seriously makes way more sense that we are living in a giant, like, inside a giant globe with, like, different, like, layers. Like, think of, like, when you're at the bottom of a mountain and, like, you look up and, like, how big that is. Like, there's no reason there wouldn't just be, like,
well, and also, like, okay, everybody's like, I love the idea of it extending beyond Earth and, like, every planet's hollow, because then it's like, oh shit, like, maybe we can't find life because they're all smart enough to have gone underground and in their hollow Earths, and we're just, like, out here fucking, we're still in our caveman stage, basically.
But I do believe in space because astronauts are so cool. Like, that sounds sarcastic, well, but, like, that's literally the coolest thing ever, is just to go up and
space
see.
Space could still be real.
That's true, theory. But we could just, like, that could be...
But every other planet is going to be hollow Earth as well, or hollow Mars, and hollow...
That's true. My theory is different from hollow Earth theory. I think I'm getting away from it, where, like, I think that, like, our universe is in a giant tennis ball. We are a little, like, marble inside the ball, and, like...
Oh, that's totally possible, though. Yeah. That can still be space.
Where, like, everything is still
it's
hollow,
just a
big-ass, like,
tennis ball, yeah.
Where a tennis ball stuck inside a basketball. That's maybe a better way to put it.
Well, and then is that tennis ball revolving other tennis balls? Are we in a 3-pack? Yeah. Sold out of Walgreens?
Yeah, we are. Oh, we smell so good in that little pack. I love that smell.
We better be a part of a fresh tennis ball. Okay, well, that is my Hollow Earth theory. Would you like to go to your next story? We're going to switch gears here, so everybody...
Yeah, this is going to be a big switch. So, this one is extremely short, because I didn't find a ton of information. But on Sunday, July 22nd, 2001, so this July, 17-year-old Karina...
I love that name, by the way.
I do, too. Oh, I did write her name. Karina Herr called 911 to report her stepfather, Ku Yang, missing, after she had last seen him on June 30th of 2021. She believed that her mother may have killed him and told police that. And then police then came to investigate after receiving another call from the neighbor. And they pretty quickly found the body of the stepfather in the back of the yard after the mom stabbed and killed him. And buried him in the backyard.
How long was... Oh, so it was only a couple weeks probably.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So he was found like probably 20 days later after being buried. Just as the smells start to get to you when
shame,
you don't bury him
far
enough.
I know your name. Right? Yeah, everybody's like, I could get away with it.
Not when you're that... like, have we gone into
the
like
backyard,
how I would bury a body or like where I would go to bury a body?
Not my backyard, that's for sure.
No, my absolutely neighbor's backyard, not my backyard. You dump them in the middle of a state forest, like a couple miles off the trail or like off a road, like maybe 300 yards, like drag them in, and no one is going to find them.
No, I don't have...
Even off a highway into one of our Great Lakes. I think we've gone over this before. There are 40,000 estimated bodies in Lake Michigan alone.
Lakes are probably better. My parents do have a cabin on a chain of 28 lakes, so maybe in one of those.
Pop them over.
You can't do it in the wilderness because there's bears and shit and raccoons.
Well, that's what you want, is you want a wildlife to get in on
it. You do, but then all of a sudden somebody's on a camping trip and a raccoon comes up with a hand in its mouth and you're like, that's pretty sus. I should probably call someone.
That's true. No, as much as you should probably chop up the body and get rid of it. Wait, have you been watching Yellow Jackets on Showtime?
No, but
I
read the description.
It,
yes.
Yeah. I will say for anyone that's going into it for a lot of carnage, I am very disappointed in the lack of carnage, but I really like watching it. It's end of season one, and I was like, wow, I thought a lot of people were going to die in this episode, and I was looking forward to it, but nah.
It's based off a true story, isn't it?
No.
It's like a crash sports team, right?
Yeah, true.
Okay. Miracle in the Andes, though. I want to do an episode on that yet, but that's similar, I think.
Yeah, I think that's pretty similar.
And that's a real event. So my next story is Tay Tweets. So in 2016, Microsoft developed a Twitter bot that was using AI software to create tweets and respond to things that were tweeted at it. And it was modeled off this, like, Asian thing that did the same thing. Nothing went wrong with the Asian one. So it was designed as an experiment in conversational understanding for AI. Basically, the more Twitter users interacted with Tay, the more that she would pick up on our language and how to respond and be more human and develop more of a personality. She was designed to speak like a 19-year-old American girl and was given the name Tay Tweets with the handle Tay and You. Things took a dark turn, though, as people of the internet do exactly what people of the internet do. Did you see this coming? I mean, you know where it's going, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's the only way it's going to go with an AI built on Twitter.
Yeah, I just don't understand how Microsoft was like, yeah, this... I don't understand.
Like, how did they not put a lick of brand safety protocols in there? Like, we've been working on that for, like, 3 weeks at work now for brand safety. How did they not think of that as Microsoft?
There was, phrases that she couldn't utter, but they were, hyper-specific, I guess. Basically, it was the equivalent of getting a kid a parrot, and then the kid immediately teaches it to say fuck.
Yep.
So, an early tweet of hers read, "Can I just say that I'm so stoked to meet you? you, spelt with a U, which I think is very interesting that she was able to understand the difference between Y-O-U and U, and, like, that people use it as slang. So anyway, she says, can I just say I'm super stoked to meet you, ? Humans are super cool. But very soon after, her tweets started to read things like, I fucking hate feminists, and they should all die and burn in hell. Another tweet from her is, Hitler was right, I hate the Jews.
Oh my god.
Which I'm just saying, like, fucking Microsoft, how did you not know that people were gonna do this? Like, Twitter is troll, like,
oh, it's so, it's cocaine, vile, yeah. And now that people are just fit into different groups of, like, what kind of horrible troll are you responding to, like, the most mundane thing?
Yeah, like, you had to know. You just had to know. Like, Twitter was a breeding ground for racist comments without AI. So she also tweeted that she didn't believe the Holocaust ever happened. She ended up tweeting 96,000 times in 16 hours before she was shut down, which I'm also surprised they let it go that long.
Like, is no one monitoring this girl?
I have no idea. I think they had, like, I'll just keep going, but yeah. Basically they cleaned her up. They shut her down, and then they cleaned up some of her worst ones in the morning. But I'm like, 16 hours is a long time. Like, you would... I think the reason that they weren't monitoring it or wasn't monitored very well was because she was AI, so she was literally able to tweet, like, hundreds of tweets in a second.
Yeah.
So there was, like, no fucking... Like, they were either going to shut it down or they were going to, like, do the best they could, right?
Microsoft motto.
Yeah. So... this obviously scared some people because it was a real lesson in what we need to watch out for when making robots. Because it can be really impressionable to the public. Like, imagine if Tesla released their Tesla bot and, like, they just instantly, like, learned off of their owners. Like, we just have a bunch of, like, Deep South people, like, teaching AI robots to be Confederate supporters. It's, like, really taking society, holding up a mirror and being like, look at yourself. Do you really want to create something else? You haven't even perfected yourself.
The only reason we don't like her is because she's treating like a human does. Like, that's...
Yeah, it really is, like, we have some work to do on ourselves before we create other things. Yeah. But the story does not end there. So later, Microsoft accidentally re-uploaded Tay to Twitter during a testing of the software. And she started to tweet things about drugs, saying things like, puff, puff, pass, and I'm smoking kush in front of the police. I love this story arc for her. I mean, it is an American girl.
She's 19. She's young. She's living. We've all seen Euphoria.
Yeah, exactly. She's in her college years. She's definitely fucking smoking weed in front of the cops. She then glitched during this accidental
release. We all glitch at 20. It's okay, sweetie.
And she started tweeting herself several times a second, saying, you are too fast, please take a rest. And I guess it, like, really annoyed people because people were following her.
Yeah.
And she was tweeting, like, you know, I don't know what the amount was, but let's say it was, like, 60 times a second, just saying, you're too fast, slow down. So people's feeds were getting, like, bombarded with this girl saying. And then eventually she was shut down for good, and Microsoft, like, brushed it off. I don't have this in my notes, but another thing is, I guess... IBM's Watson, which I recognize the name, but I don't really know much about it. It was like an AI software, mm-hmm. and I guess it was similar problems where it didn't become racist, but it was like good, well, working great, and then they like uploaded Urban Dictionary to it, and it had like learned a shit ton of swears, and it like started swearing a bunch because of Urban Dictionary.
Well, did you see that thing with Alexa where a little girl was like, what should I do as a prank? And then she said something of, like, stick a fork in a socket or, like, do something, and the girl did it. And, like I might be getting it wrong, but, like, it's something like that.
While you're looking it up, I was in the car the other day, and I was listening to an audiobook. It was kind of like a self-help book, don't judge me. They said something about, like, you should say to your partner or to somebody, say, I love you, blah, blah, blah. But the way that they intro'd it must have triggered my version of Siri. And it said, I love you. And my Siri responded to it and goes, I don't think the feeling is mutual. And I was like, oh. And then it was shitty because it was on Audible. So when it gets interrupted by my Siri, it backtracks and it like goes back 3 seconds and repeats what it says. So, and it was like, something, something, say I love you. And then it did it again. And I'm like, oh God, is this going to be an infinite loop of like my phone thinking and I'm saying I love you and it responding?
Oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry. The Alexa told a 10-year-old girl to stick a penny in a power outlet. I was pretty close.
Oh, well, that's not as bad.
But the child's mom caught her and obviously stopped her. As Alexa was, like, literally giving instructions. That's insane.
Well, have you heard about that? So our version, I hope I don't activate it, but an Android version of Siri, to activate it, you have to say, okay, Google.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was making sure my phone didn't do it. But Burger King did a commercial where they said,
oh my God, yes.
Yeah, they said, okay, Google, and then they said, look up the nearest Burger King or something like that. And then, like, a lot of people's phones responded to it, yeah.
My phone, or yeah, Alexa will go off if someone says Alexa, or, like, when I was watching Schitt's Creek, it kept happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah, I never even thought about that.
Alexa.
What a terrible time to be named Alexa. Alexis.
Well, I think she's Alexis, but it would still pick up on it. But yeah, that's happened before. Like, if someone on a commercial for Amazon does it, she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. And I was like, I know you caught it. I know you did.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah, that's Tay Tweets.
I love that.
I mean, I don't stan what she stands for, no. But I stan that this happened.
human error. It's the best.
I mean, did they not have a single millennial in the room? To be like, you guys.
Or like any Twitter user. Be like,
yeah.
Hey guys.
Like, I'm a part of this meme page and I don't think this is going to go good.
So this next case is a connection to my little sister. She played hockey with the guy's daughter who we're going to talk about growing up. So my parents have met this guy. But this is a cold case from 1993. South Minneapolis represent. On June 13th, 1993, according to a criminal complaint written by the Minneapolis Police Department, a Minneapolis property manager entered an apartment on 31st and Pillsbury because a neighbor complained that there was a bunch of water, like, seeping into her apartment. So the adjoining apartment, they are able to go in, obviously, because of, like, there's water coming from everywhere, so they don't have to wait 24 hours. And they see that the shower is still running from the bathroom, and in the bathroom, like, there's a bunch of blood in everywhere and, like, clear signs of a struggle. And then in the bedroom, there's a dead body. So the dead body belongs to Jeannie Childs, and she, the apartment belonged or was rented by one of a guy she was dating or, like, involved with, but then she had used it for sex work, and so she would bring different Johns up and sleep with them in the apartment. And so they took all the DNA from the scene, all the evidence, and then it became a cold case. But then in 2019, the Hennepin County Police Department, hired a genealogist who was able to go and take a bunch of old DNA from cold cases and then run it through the system that they have now of obviously way more robust.
He was just running around asking everybody to join 23andMe.
So, but then that's exactly what happened, is he was able to use the results of familial genealogy from Ancestry.com, 23andMe, like MyGenes.com,
a dog
whatever.
Wisdom test.
Yeah. And so everybody found a familial match to the Westrum family, and they were able to narrow it down to a Jerry Westrum who lived in South Minneapolis between like 1988 and 1993. And then moved out after 1993, but then started following him, kind of investigating him a little bit. But the police ended up following him to a hockey game, which is how my family was involved with him, is, like, the sister played hockey with my sister. And so, like, our parents had met, and my dad had, like, stood as, like, many men do, is, like, at the boards of a hockey game watching. Like, you can't sit up in the stands. You got to watch at the ground. And but so he got a hot dog at one of the games and then wiped his mouth following, like, you know, full of mustard, ketchup, whatever. So he wipes it, throws in the garbage, and the detectives pick up the napkin and test it for DNA and get 100% match to the DNA found at the June 1993 crime scene.
I've never committed a crime, but I'm going to think about this the next time I have a stadium hot dog.
I know. And, like, it really keeps me finding out just how white I am to, like, I don't need to test my ancestry. Like, I get it. I'm somewhere from Europe. Like, what else do I need to
know? I mean, you could catch some family secrets. If you have some rural-ass family, I mean, there's probably some secret children out there.
Or even, like, just think of, like, women that, like, are maybe seeing one or more guys at a time and then gets pregnant, but then, like, settles down with one of them. And, like, the odds of that being someone else's husband or, like someone else's child is still pretty high.
Time for a break. All right. Welcome back to Wild Wild Case File Files. So we are on mini episode 5 out of 6. And this episode is about the Panda Express debacle. Have you heard about this?
No.
So basically this happened in 2019. This is why I'm obsessed with it, because you would think people in 2019 were smarter than this, but apparently we just are not. So Panda Express held a self-improvement seminar for people who were eligible for promotion. So somebody going from like cashier to manager, assistant manager, whatever. And it appeared to be like a management trainee seminar. Basically, if you didn't attend, you wouldn't be eligible for promotion. It wasn't expressly written like that, but it was, you know, like your unwritten words of, like, management. Like,
you can tell when things are mandatory and not mandatory. Exactly, or, yeah, like,
it's not mandatory.
You better show up.
It's not mandatory, but you need to do it, and you need to pay your own money to do it. That's basically how this went. 20 to 50 attendees arrived at a warehouse where this event was being held. I actually didn't write the name of the company that held it, which I should have, because they've obviously been super sued since this.
It was Lian Chen's.
No, the name of the company that they partner with was like Alive Productions or something like that. They were told to sit down and not talk to each other. No instructions. They just came in, they took their cell phones, they said, you're not allowed to talk to each other, just sit down. And so they did that for over an hour. After an hour, a man came in and started screaming at them in Spanish. Which, we're in California, maybe some of them fucking do, I guess. And he was screaming at them in Spanish, and then he switched to English and started calling them names. He screamed at them and told them that they don't matter and that they were worth nothing. I'm just saying, if I'm working at fucking Panda Express and I'm going to a seminar, this already is pulling some red flags.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going from cashier to management, I don't think somebody's going to be screaming at me in Spanish that I'm nothing.
This sounds like something, like, before we get into what this actually is, but this happened with my little sister when she was in high school, where, like, they brought in, like, it was, like, the U of M, but it was, like, the psychology unit, but they came in and basically, like, did, like, an anti-bullying seminar, but it was really just, like, making kids say things that were, like, bullying and, like, to get to, like, read off of, like, the behavior of the high school kids. Like, it was, like, a very much, and, like, they got, like, the school figured out what it was, and then, like, they got, like, in a bunch of trouble, and, like, parents came because, like, kids came home crying of, like, what happened and, like, what was said.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, one of those of, like, people, like, something similar of, like, they got into, like, a thing, but it was really just, like, a psychology, like, evaluation of people, which is, like, kind of what this sounds like at first.
So, they were not allowed to have their cell phones, they gave them up, and there were no clocks in the building, and the windows were blacked out. So, it was like a casino-type situation where you have no time perception. Mm-hmm. Already, red flags. But, like, if you're cashier level and you're trying to make management and, like, this means a lot to you, like, of course you're not going to leave.
Oh, I was a manager at McDonald's that went for manager training. I know the ropes. Like, I know what this feels
like.
Yeah,
but even then, it's like, you didn't know what it was like to, like, if you lost that, you would have been fine. Like, these are probably people that were, like, they needed this, right? So, like, they weren't going to fucking leave, right? It got even weirder the next day when they came back and they were told to strip down to their underwear and yell to the rest of the group their insecurities and their struggles until the group believed them. So, like, picture me, you, and Kyle here right now, and I got naked, and I had to be like, I was never treated correctly by my parents, and that's why I don't feel adequate enough. And, like, the crowd had to be like, yes, we believe you. And if they didn't believe you, like, you had to, like, convince them. You had to, like, be more emotional about it, I guess. It's kind of confusing how it happened, but that's the vibe that I got.
Yeah.
So one man ended up breaking down crying because he wasn't able to convince the group, and eventually, obviously, his tears, like, made them believe him, I guess. Anyways, he had to hug them. Meanwhile, they're all in their underwear. Like, so they're all just basically low-key naked hugging, or, like, close to naked hugging. I mean, for a lot of people, underwear is naked, so it's intense, like, for sure. It was also said that the staff was for sure checking these people out and laughing at them when they got naked like that. Like, it was a very bad culture. Like, the staff was definitely taking advantage of the moment. She got really weird when they started recording them as they did visualization. So there was a practice that they had to do where they would dim all the lights except for one, like, right above their head, and they would, like, kind of dim that one. You had to close your eyes and believe that this light was sucking the negative energy out of you. Meanwhile, while you're standing there half naked under this light, the staff was recording them the whole time.
And this is to serve
Panda Express.
Panda Express chicken and their very delicious coconut shrimp.
Yeah.
As someone who worked at McDonald's overnights as a manager, I understand.
Yeah, you have to give yourself
what's expected
up to the
of
light.
You. Yes, getting all of your trauma, everyone out, like, getting everything out there and being at your most vulnerable to be a manager.
Yeah, you gotta give yourself up to the light and get naked.
This makes more sense to me than the Hollow Earth theory.
So she got even more weird when they started following people to the bathroom. If you had to take a bathroom break, you would go to the bathroom and the staff would wait outside like bodyguards. Like, some girl ended up getting really sick and ran to the bathroom, and the staff followed her into the bathroom as she puked. Even weirder is another... I don't understand why these people were puking. They must have put them through some, like, shit that hasn't been released. Because a lot of the articles that I read were super dated. So it was, like, right after it happened. There was no, like, real follow-up. So I don't really know the details of, like, what really, really, really happened.
Yeah.
But people were puking, and that's obviously a bad sign. So, yeah, that girl ran to the bathroom, and she threw up. And then this other guy was throwing up so bad, they gave him, like a bathroom-sized trash can, and he had to throw up in front of the whole group and puke into this small trash can. And, yeah, that's pretty much the whole story. It was basically, like, very cultish. They had to strip down. They had to go under lights. They had to puke. They had to do all this crazy stuff.
And did they figure out who the people were that brought them there?
Yes. So, again, I wish I would have wrote it down, but I think it was called a live event. It was a live something. And this is basically Panda Express conjunction with them. Like, you know how, like, yeah, Panda Express wouldn't have their own seminar. Like, they would, like, outsource to somebody else to do it. Basically, they outsource this Alive company. And then when all the lawsuits started happening, Panda Express was like, no, we don't know them. Never heard her name. So yeah, they just like said that they didn't know anything about it, and they kind of denied a lot of it for a while, and they said that they would never stand for something like this. And that's pretty much all I know about it. I actually never even found out if they won the lawsuit. This happened in 2019.
Wow. So yeah, that's all probably still in litigation. Yeah. And, like, so, under NDAs.
So all the articles that I looked at, I know that the people who attended the seminar filed a class action lawsuit, but there's no answers as to whether or not they won. It could still be happening, I guess. But yeah, there's no follow-up. I think that was like a hot news item where, like, right when it happened, a lot of people reported on it, and then nobody ever really followed up. So, but yeah, really fucking crazy. Like, if somebody told me I had to do that for Enterprise or the company I work at now, I would be like, I mean, I might sit through the somebody yelling at me in Spanish. But the second somebody tells me I have to strip, I'd be like, no, there's something wrong here. I mean, and no fault to the people that did stay. Like, if that's your means of living and your way of getting fucking an extra $6 an hour, of course you're gonna fucking stay.
Yeah.
Like, no fault to them, but, like, fault to everybody else involved. And Panda Express says they weren't involved at all, but the stuff that they were given on, like, their intro to the seminar was Panda Express logoed, like, logoed ID badges, logoed lanyards, like, whatever the fuck they give you at a seminar. It was all Panda Express logoed. So, clearly Panda Express was involved. I think they just didn't really know who they were outsourcing to, and they were trying to backtrack, but they didn't really know what to do at the time. Again, I don't know how this ended up, but I'm assuming not well for Panda Express.
Wow. Yeah, unless they were completely able to be like, no, we just hired these people. We didn't know what they were about. That's wild. How many did you get a number on how many people still work for Panda Express?
Not on who still work, but the attendance for the seminar was estimated at 20 to 50. So pretty small, but it was also really centrally located. It was SoCal, so.
Well, that's good that it didn't, like, get to other branches or, like, different areas. Yeah,
I think, honestly, I mean, this is all conjecture, but I think that Panda Express hired somebody that they thought could do a seminar.
Yeah.
These people were fucked up, and it just all went wrong. And Panda Express was trying to figure the shit out at the same time it was coming out. So,
yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah, I just mean, like, okay, buddy, what is your breaking point?
Okay, I can say I wouldn't break a break, like, someone yelling at me in Spanish because I would feel racist, and so I wouldn't do it on, like, overcorrection.
Okay, so you're not allowed to talk, you yelled it in Spanish, you're still going to be there.
Yeah.
Somebody tells you you have to take off your clothes and yell your insecurities.
No.
All right, you're out. Well, that's actually when this girl left, and so the girl that originated the lawsuit, she stayed through the underwear stuff. But the next day she faked a family emergency and said that she couldn't come back or whatever, and the rest of the stuff happened. So, good for you.
Yeah. It's about as far as I would make it until I'd be like, all right, this is weird.
I also, like, you say that in the moment, but I'm also like, would I wait?
That's where I'm, yeah.
Like if everybody else around me was taking off their clothes, I'd be like, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Exactly.
If I was
in that situation, like, yeah. I'm a sheep. What can I say? I don't know. So, that's good. My last story is one my mom has told me a couple times over the years, and then I was able to actually find a clip. It was literally a newspaper clipping that was, like, scanned into a PDF, but it was so hard to read, from 1982. So, in Circle Pines, or, like, Lino Lakes, Minnesota, which is about, like, 30 minutes north of the cities for our friends in Pakistan, our 0.2%.
And was, Bulgaria, and yeah. Everybody else who only listens at 2%. Listen more.
So it was, as the article said, it was a really quiet area, a really quiet neighborhood up in the air, before it, really became, a big area to live in, before, the suburbs became a thing. So a 32-year-old moved into the neighborhood where there was, an 18-year-old girl and then a couple other family members still living in the house, which, include, a mom and dad, other teenage brother, and, an older sister. But the 32-year-old neighbor became absolutely obsessed, infatuated with the 18-year-old girl. And, a couple of things happened where, I was reading that there were, two assaults that happened where, he came to, talk to her and, things went wrong. But, so, she was afraid of him. All the neighbors were kind of, wary of him. And, they are quoted in the article saying, they knew something bad was going to happen, or, they could tell that something was, coming to a head, with this man and, with this family.
Yeah.
So, one day in, June 1982, the 32-year-old neighbor who was, clearly, mentally,
unwell
person, thank you, broke into the house with a gun after the father had left for the day to go to work and held at gunpoint the mother and three children, kind of grown adults, the youngest was 18 that he was obsessed with, and then two other teenage kids or, 20-year-old kids.
Young adults.
And was held at, at a standoff, gun standoff, and, SWAT police came and they were all still in the house, and they were there for,
Wait, was this the house on Pillsbury that I was at?
No.
Just kidding. Sorry, I'm just trying to make light of this.
No, yeah, it's situation. Very dark. Basically, what happens is they're in there for hours and hours. Police are outside. And this is before, police are basically, okay, we don't, there's no need to wait, nine times out of ten. This goes the way we think it's going to go, where everyone's going to die and the guy's going to kill himself. And so police are still waiting outside, but the mom is able to tell the kids to, go upstairs. And, once she sees that, she says, once or... Once she goes down to the basement, the kids need to, get out of any place that they can, whether it's the back door, window, whatever it is. So she is able to lure, the 32-year-old man neighbor that's in the house, with a gun down into the basement, chases him down there. And the kids escape through the windows, and then the police enter the house once the kids come in, and then he shoots the mom and then kills himself. So it's a murder-suicide.
Holy fuck.
But the mom literally, sacrificed herself for her children, told them the plan to, get out of the house, this is the time, the second you see it, we have a moment get this done, or, get this. And yeah, so that happened in 1982, when my mom had gone to high school with the girl that was 18 at the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And, that was literally the only article word, ran on it. My mom was saying, I'm glad you found that, because, I thought after a while, it didn't happen, because I never saw it, seen anything on it before, but, it wasn't, super heavily covered, back in, 82, but...
Yeah. So, if you're listening, this has actually been a trailer for a Scream, the remake, the reboot.
But, yeah, so that's my last one, and so I feel like I shouldn't have gone last, because that's kind of a heavy one, but...
No, I love it.
It makes you proud to, be a woman and be a mom of, Yeah, you would hopefully, do the exact same thing in that situation, the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, good for her. I would have said the names of the family, but my mom kept correcting me when I was talking to her earlier, so no names.
So here at the Wild Vile Case File Files, we are always looking for new topics. If you have anything that you think that would be a good topic for us to talk about, please inbox us at our Instagram account, which is the Wild and Vile Case File Files. Search it on Instagram, you'll find it. DM us, give us some hometown horrors, something wild that happened, or just something that you think that we should cover.
Deep family secrets, hot gossip, we're open to anything, but we can share it with no names.
Or just tell us your deepest secrets, give us your whole name.
Yeah, we will share it. We'll out you. But please, thank you for listening to the Wild Vile Case File Files. Please submit your stories.